And we understand everybody seeks cover or place of security or safety at one time or another. And although not always guaranteed, the place of cover, security, and safety can provide a temporary reprieve from your troubles. But this morning, I have a message I want to share with you. A message of encouragement, a message of hope. Anybody need any hope? Anybody need to be encouraged? A message of promise. And it's found right here in the Word of God. Y'all was wondering, I'm in the Word of God. Meet me, if you will, in Psalms 46, verse 1. Very familiar verse, passage. Psalm 46, verse 1. I said I have a message of encouragement, a message of hope, a message of promise. Let's pray. Father God, we come before your presence in Jesus' name. Just to say thank you. We're in a new year now. New hopes and possibilities. But there's still troubles everywhere. Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, in this new year, as we did for many of us last year, to keep us safe from dangers seen and unseen. This year, Lord, we're even more deliberate and intentional to do our best to do those things which are most pleasing in thy sight. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you this morning. We seek to do your will, to obey your word and your way. We ask even now that you would convict, convince, and convert. Convict us, God, and challenge us where we need to be. If it's how we treat one another, convict, God. If it's how we play shortcuts and try to ease our way, Lord, let us be more deliberate and intentional in doing the work that you have assigned us. Lord, convict us in our giving or lack of. Everything belongs to you. Lord, we even now look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Bless us, God, and we shall indeed be blessed. Keep us, and we shall indeed be kept. We say yes to your will, your word, and your way. For it's in the name of Jesus, powerful, mighty name, that we pray with thanksgiving always. And God's people said amen, amen, and amen. Psalms 46, verse 1, two translations, the New King James and the NLT. The New King James Version says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The NLT translation says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. I want to talk around the thought, the subject, a promise of refuge. A promise of refuge. You just read it with me. It says, God is our refuge and strength, Crystal. A very present, some translation says an ever present help in trouble. In other words, you need to understand and realize that God was our refuge and strength 7 days ago. In the old year. We need to understand that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble right now. And moving forward, Abyssinian and friends, into tomorrow, after today, and the days coming, God will still be our refuge. I'm talking about a promise of refuge. How do I know? Because he said so. Many of us have heard the saying that God is a refuge. That's why I said a very familiar passage. But how many of us have actually stopped to consider what that means? We say it, oh, God is my, but how many of us have actually stopped to think about what God is saying? As I prepared this message, God challenged me with the challenges that I'm confronted with that seem to say, if you allow your faith to be challenged to become fearful, you won't realize the promise of God's refuge. Fear will not allow you to embrace totally, wholeheartedly what God says. God is talking to somebody this morning out there. You can't be filled and consumed with fear. How am I going to make it if God says, I am your refuge? Every one of us feels the storms of life, or has felt the storms of life beat down on us. Am I right? And for some of us, it might seem like we never have a moment's peace. Every time I turn, it looks like if it's not one thing, it's another. Anybody ever felt that way? Maybe you're feeling that way. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Every time I think I'm over with this, there's a that. Y'all gonna pray with me this morning. Somebody said, will I ever get a break? Eleanor, will I ever get a break? Maybe the answer is in the idea that we've heard 100 times. God is our refuge. But what does that mean? What does God is our refuge mean? Well, it means, if nothing else, God is our safe place. God is our retreat. God is the place where we ought to go, if you haven't already figured it out, when you are free. Verse 10 of Psalm 46 says, be still. That suggests that whatever you're going through, from the pulpit to the door, ceiling to the floor, will sometimes unsettle you. God says, be still. Y'all missed that. Be still and know. That suggests if you're not still and you're unsettled and you're still filled with fear and anxiety, you won't know. God is saying, I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. I will be honored by you. I'm talking about a place, a promise of refuge. It's a place to flee to when storms and your enemies surround us. Somebody say, I don't have no enemies. I don't bother anybody. What? You breathing, you got an enemy. Sharon, if you breathing, you got an enemy. If I'm breathing, I got an enemy. There's always, Brother Jimmy, somebody that don't like you just by looking at you. Come on, y'all ain't gonna help. Y'all gonna make me preach hard. But y'all, I didn't do nothing, but they don't like me because they don't like the way I look. They don't like the way I talk. I'm talking as if I'm from the hood. You're not, you know, you got a doctor's degree. What's that mean? You snooty tooty or what? Whoa, what's that mean? I know some doctors that are, praiseworthy. You talk, then I know some doctors that are foolish. A promise of refuge is a place where we feel protected. Protected from anything and anyone that might try to hurt us. Understand, in the case of a soldier, a refuge might be a base, a bunker, or friendly territory. For a child, refuge might be the arms of a parent, a guardian. But whatever the case, the person finds shelter and protection from danger. And when we see or say that God is our refuge, it means that God is where and who we flee to when trouble comes. Is anybody in trouble? Y'all don't want to tell. You know anybody in trouble? Supposed to ask you, what should you do? I heard it. Go to God. Seek him. God has promised that he would be your place, your person of refuge. And the reason why God might say that is because many of us have a tendency to run somewhere else when they get in trouble. Come on now. I'm praying for some folk that I haven't seen in a little while. I'm hoping it's because they're not, just because they're not feeling well. But some folk may have slipped back into the arms of the enemy. They said it ain't working. They're back in the bed with the enemy. I don't want to go to bed with the devil. I want to sleep in the arms of Jesus. Hello, somebody. I don't want to sleep with the enemy. Because if he has it his way, I ain't going to wake up no more. Some people, I didn't say everybody, don't get mad. Some people would rather than slip or to go into God's arms, they run to family or friends. They run back to the hobbies or hidden sins, bad habits, mingling with and associating with the wrong people. Some people went back to party on New Year's Eve and the party then grabbed them, then slashed them, then touched their soul. Some people have convinced themselves that these temporary things can provide them with rest and protection. But in reality, there's nothing but a whole lot of trouble. He's a present help. Right now. Anybody need any right now help?
Right now.
Only if all y'all don't need any right now help. In your situation. In your child's situation. In your loved one's situation. In your financial situation, is it anybody that needs a right now type of hope and help with a sick family member? How about your job? You want to quit, but you don't have no other place to go to. Y'all ain't gonna help me. A promise of refuge. Don't you know? that God can rescue you right in your office, that what the hell is going around you, that's what it'll be around you, but it won't be in you. It won't affect you. God can insulate you. Even if you're not isolated from it. Y'all ain't hearing God. I'm talking about a promise of refuge. He's a present help. He's in the midst of your situation. Hello, Pastor Pointer. He's in the midst of your situation. He promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Though we might be tempted when we look. You know, we say we don't walk by sight. I'll be dang gang. Some of us walk by all kinds of sights. All we do is what we see. In order to have a sustained peace, his imminence should be our focus. The imminence of God means that he is knowable, perceivable, and graspable. I can touch him. How can you touch? His word, his spirit dwells in me. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Nothing happens outside of God's loving, sovereign, and providential will and care. So whatever it is you're going through, God said, I got it. I got it. I got it. You don't have a car because you can't afford to get a new one fit. God said, I got it. You got people on the job give you a hard time. God says, I got it. You got more bills than you got money coming. And God says, I got it. You got people that talking about you all the time. God says, I got it. He's got it. And if he's got it, then that means leave it with him and keep on pressing on. The psalmist says in Psalm 121, 3 and 4, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. It says, the Lord, y'all missed it. The Lord is your keeper, not your money, not your honey. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Am I right about it? Psalm 37 says, verse 23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. Why? Because the Lord holds them up by the hand. Some of us pull away from him and we don't let him have our hand. And then we say, I'm falling. God said, you let go of me. You've got to reach out and touch my hand. That's why you're all messed up. You started watching and you pulled yourself away. And now you're catching more hell than ever before. Since God is the only one, you better stay with only. Y'all missed it. Those who delight in him may stumble, but they will not fall. Because they are upheld by his strong hand. God doesn't fall asleep. Am I right about it? Verse 5 of Psalm 121 says, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. I understand, Lord, what are you talking about? Well, you need to understand that a soldier often carried his shield in his left hand. And the right side was exposed and vulnerable. And David saw God as the one who would provide a protective shade or shield against potential harm on the vulnerable, exposed right side. While he was holding up this side, He thought he was open here. But God said, step in.
Yeah.
And when the enemy thought he could get to you,
yeah,
God says, I've got him covered.
That's right.
Coming and going.
That's right.
I wish somebody would hear God.
Yeah.
The psalmist said in Psalm 121, 6 and 8, the sun shall not S-U-N. The sun shall not strike you by night, day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Verse 8. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Then the psalmist picks up in 130. Now, why are you giving us all this Bible? Are you for real? Psalm 139, verse 2 and 3 said, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts are far off. Sometimes I don't even know why I'm thinking what I'm thinking. You ever think crazy almost?
Yeah.
Y'all don't want to. You ever just don't know what you're all over the place. Verse 3 of Psalm 139 says, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. God knows everything there is to know about you or me. Your husband, your wife don't know everything. Your mama, daddy, your children, your boyfriend, your fiance, your boss, your supervisor, your neighbor. They know some things, but they don't know everything about. God knows everything about you. He knows why you tick. What makes you tick. He knows right now whether you're faking it, trying to make it in the service. Y'all looking at me. Don't you know some folk come to service just trying to fake it till they make it? They don't have a clue what's going on because they come to church looking for a band-aid when you should have been talking to God before you got to church. They looking for instant gratification, but they didn't spend no time with him before they got to church. You know there's a Monday. After Sunday, there's Monday, Tuesday. Anybody in Bible study? Anybody on the prayer line? Anybody trying to get something in the midweek to keep them standing? Well, I got to hasten on. How can we experience God as our refuge and strength in times of trouble? How can we experience him? Because I don't want to assume that everybody knows. You know, troubles come in all shapes and sizes. Y'all do know that. That Hebrew word for trouble talks about distress, adversity, affliction, anguish, tribulation. And we know that God is a spirit. So that means you can't run into God's physical presence and be shielded from the things that trouble us in life. Because the life of faith is a spirit-filled life. You cannot look for emotional experience as your measure of God being your refuge. You can't go up on an emotional roller coaster. He either is your refuge, whether you feel like it or not. Oh, come on. Somebody ain't feeling it right now. God still is your refuge. He's more than a feeling. He's a living God who's active in your life and mine. And he wants you and I to find refuge in something more lasting than a good emotional experience.
That's right. That's right.
That's why I try to teach rather than just preach and flip over and jump. You know, some people want to get woo. They get home, you don't have no more woo. You need some meat. Gravy don't sustain you. You need some meat, the word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. You need to hear. Take heed. Embrace. Oh, taste. Y'all was tasting food all during the holiday. Come on. I didn't taste too much food. Jessica, don't say that. I didn't, man, all these kind of. Lord have mercy. Hey, I'm going into the elder, I'm going into Cardinal now. Listen, man, my wife made some chocolates. Oh my God. Honey! Oh, sweet and moist. Then I had the nerve to go over one of my other relatives. I don't put your name out. You watching it? She had a pineapple cheesecake. I sinned. All have sinned. They come short. Said, you better not say that. I sinned. Somebody said, I can tell. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. It's more than a feeling. Psalm 46 gives a description of various kinds of disasters. Am I right about it? And notice the structure. Y'all stay with me. I'm almost done. Notice the structure of Psalm 46. Verse 2 and 3, get this, along with verses 8 and 9, describe disasters and trials. But verses 1 and then 4 to 7 and 10 and 11 describe God's power and safety in the midst of those difficulties. We have a tendency to look at all the heartache and headache, and we fail to see all of God's remedy, God's rescue, God's power, God's provision. We fail to see that because we get stuck on what's wrong. And God says, I keep on telling you, I'm giving you a promise of refuge. Whatever it is you're going through, you can go through in me, through me, and it won't bother you like that. What are you saying, Pastor? Your trouble, my trouble, our troubles is bracketed by God's promises. Y'all missed it. It's bracketed by God's promises. The verses about the difficulties of life are graphically surrounded by verses about the power and safety of the Lord. It gives us a picture of a mother or father who hugs and comforts their fearful and upset child. God surrounds us and protects us in our difficulties. Am I right about it? Proverbs 18 and 10, and I'm on my way to my seat. I got to give you some things, though. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name, Lord have mercy, just the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. Just his name. I double D dare you to call on the name. There's power in the name. There's provision in the name. There's deliverance in the name. There's healing in the name. There's hope in the very name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Now you want to know why I tell my granddaughters, when you're in trouble, call on the name. My granddaughter Jasmine, if she hasn't left, she's on her way back to Penn State. I tell her, whatever, go call you in trouble, somebody stalking you, call on the name. If they are, God forbid, abduct you and have you hidden somewhere, call on the name of Jesus. There's no other name under the sound of heaven that you can be saved, not just from the penalty of sin, Jesus saves each and every day from other stuff. Oh, I'm trying to get out. There are two groups described in Psalm 46. One group is protected by the Lord, and the other group fights against the Lord. That's going on now. You got folk that are protected by the Lord, and then some folk don't want to hear nothing about the Lord. That's why they can't ever make it to church. I'm not saying that everybody that doesn't make it to church is that, but you suspect. I'm in trouble. Now, the shoe don't fit, don't wear it. Eleanor, pray. I lost some folk. They got mad with me. I ain't getting no envelope. I ain't giving you nothing. The first kind of people that protected by the Lord, they have doable solutions. You know, the second kind is more difficult, in which the problems are far beyond their ability and resources. They can't handle it. So let me close y'all with this. To help with this problem, y'all want to get these. God gives you and I, Sister Crystal, 5 key resources that strengthen and encourage us to keep on keeping on. 5 key. You know, keys open things. Oh, wait a minute, I'm getting to Mother Sermon, bro. First of all, there's the resource of his presence. You only know this stuff when you stay close to God. The promise of refuge to those who acknowledge and know about the resource of his presence. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am," here we go, "your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you." I'm reading the Bible. "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I would tell you why he uses the right hand and not the left hand, but then we go to cultures and all that stuff. So let's move on. Whether or not we can experience or sense God, he's always there with us. Am I right about it? But not only the resource of his presence, but the resource God sometimes provides you with other people. He'll send somebody to help you. The resource of his people. Anybody ever felt better when somebody else came up and just comforted you? You're out of nowhere. You ever felt good when somebody just came up to you? It'll make you cry sometimes. Or sometimes it'll make you cry if I say something that you're going through. And how do I know it? I didn't know you didn't tell me, but God told me to tell you. And it makes you break out of tears because God is talking to you and you and you and you and you and you and me. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Safe people are highly underrated and highly necessary because they provide important support in other people's lives. Don't let nobody tell you, "I don't need nobody." That's how bad they hurt. That's all that reveals. They're hurting so bad, they need it because they don't feel nobody cares. "I don't need nobody," but they need somebody. They already know God, but you need somebody. give you a person, tangible, to touch you, to touch your face, to rub you down, to let you know that God sent me to soothe you. I know I'm boring y'all. Not only the resource of his presence, not only the resource of his people, and there's a whole lot more to go with these, but I'm moving. The resource of his power. Y'all, I'm talking about a promise of refuge. You got to take this and take it in. Acts chapter 16. Verse 25 and 26, I'm talking about the resource of his power. And I'll never get to understand this, Sister Evelyn, but at midnight. Why does God send you gotta wait till midnight? That's the prayer. Why you got to wait at midnight? Lord knows that, but why has he got to wait at midnight? I was in trouble at 7 o'clock. Elder, I was in trouble at 7 or 5. Maybe God was checking to see where I was coming from. But at midnight, wait a minute, something's going on at midnight. Eleanor, stop telling my business. It's God, but you're right. No, you're good. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, Eleanor's in here, were praying and singing hymns to God. At midnight, when hell broke out, in your situation, when you didn't know what to do, you didn't break down and give up, you start praying and singing, glory, 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 glory to his name. You don't know you can sing your way out of a jam? Did you know you can pray and sing your way out of trouble? Anybody know that? Have you tried it before? I dare you, tell me you ain't a singer. Sing to the glory of his name. But wait a minute. While they were praying and singing and giving God glory, the prisoners were listening to them. Could it be that what you're going through, God wants other people to watch you, to see how you react, see how you respond, so God can let you give them a pictorial illustration of what it is to be one of his? People watching and listening. And then it said, listen, God's going to do some miraculous something. Suddenly, after you pray, you praise him, and you got other people looking. God will not let his man or woman go down. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everybody's chains were loosed. Somebody shackled this morning. Somebody's bound this morning. God wants to free you up. Free you up. Take away the chain. Break the chain. Number four. Y'all only got two. Not only the resource of his presence. Y'all got that? The resource of his people. The resource of his power. But the resource of his produce. What does that mean? Just keep on listening. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says, and not only that, but we also glory, here we go, in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces something. Dang. You mean I got to go through this? Sister Pat, because God is doing something. You mean to tell me you, Jessica, you too? Yeah, Sister Janice. Stop calling your name. out there, because y'all looking at me mean. Security produces perseverance. It's a progression there. And progression leads to character. And character, hope. You got to go through something. And you're going through will help you to get better at going through. Y'all missed it. Produce means to create or to bring forth. To produce, produce means to make something or bring something into existence. Y'all was thinking about going shopping for lemons and oranges. In other words, as I hasten to a close for real, you and I are designed by God to grow and develop. God will use whatever means necessary to grow you and me. Whether you get tired of it, try to, you know why you squirming? Because God is talking to you. That's a good thing. Because if you belong to him, you'll know he's talking to you. And if it's no thing, you better star 69 and find out whether or not you ever met him. We are designed to grow and develop, which is to produce in the agricultural sense. We can endure many trials if we see ourselves transforming into a more loving and mature person. Here we go. God uses our tough times to create a new person in us.
Yeah.
That's how I make it through. God says, you got to catch hell. I ain't got to hit you with a stick. I ain't got to hit you with a belt. I allow tribulation and troubles to whip you into shape. I'm talking about the promise of refuge. Let me get this last one. We're done. Not only the resource of his presence, of his people, of his power, of his produce, but lastly, I'm talking about the promise of refuge, the resource of his purpose. Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. Don't ask me, you ain't supposed to look. Nothing to do with understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 and 20. You remember the story of Joseph? Remember his brothers did to him? Joseph said to them, his brothers, you know, after they got exposed, do not be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to get you back for what you did to me. I already know, I'm paraphrasing, vengeance is the Lord's, not mine. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Verse 20, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but, thank God for consecrated conjunctions, but you meant to take me out. You meant for the church to fail. You meant for me to die. You meant for me to be broke. You meant for me to be sick. You meant for other people to hate me. You meant for me to go down. You meant for me to do everything but what God wanted for me. But God, he allowed it. He meant it in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Save many people alive. See, folk are walking dead people. God has to put you and I in this dead world where people are on their way to hell, where they don't know where they're going. And God puts us a living sacrifice in the midst of a dead world. He saves us. He picks us up, turns us around, places our feet on solid ground. And then he says, you go amongst all them dead folk and tell them, let them see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. God is. God will always be my refuge, your refuge, and your life. Say yeah. Say yeah! Say yeah!